your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 46th episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos. Today, this is actually a pre-recorded interview. We decided kind of at the last minute to bring our guest today in on a pre-recorded interview just to make it a little easier for them. The good news is that I figured out a way to post the show in such a way that it looks like a live show, and that means that I can have the chat room on. And Tammy and I intend to be in the chat room, and so it'll be like a live experience, and it should be fun. So I want to get right to my guests today, and I'm very excited to have them on the show. My guests today are two remarkable women, Belinda Creech and her wonderful daughter, Cece, now famous for their Elephants Remember Joplin campaign. 11-year-old Cece Creech started her journey with elephants as a little girl with a big vision. In 2011, at the age of 8, she became aware of the disaster that was unfolding in Joplin in the aftermath of a devastating tornado, and she was sure she could do something to help. She started knitting elephants for the children impacted by the tornado, while people caught her enthusiasm and spurred her on by donating money to the Red Cross for each elephant she brought to life. Since then, Cece has been featured in 6 national publications. She was the runner-up for the Heartsong Heroes Award and was the 2013 Jay Buckley Humanitarian Award recipient. She has also been interviewed on numerous radio programs and even managed to get an elephant to NBC's Brian Williams as a reminder about the needs remaining in Joplin. With the support and encouragement of her mother, Belinda, and much of the knitting community at large, Cece has continued to give to others through the simple gift of creating things with yarn. Through her collaborations with various organizations that help people such as victims of bullying, children in crisis, people battling cancers, and families affected by natural disasters, Cece has raised over $12,000 and donated more than 1,450 handmade toys. Currently, Cece is working with Ty Pennington, formerly of ABC's Extreme Home Makeover, on his Pencils of Promise fundraiser with the goal of building schools in Guatemala, and her Elephants for Guatemala campaign has a new herd in the making. I'm very happy to be able to visit with them today, and I'd like to welcome my friend Cece Creech and her mother, Belinda. They are joining us today from Campbellsville, Kentucky. Good morning, ladies, and welcome to the show.
Hello. We're glad to be here. Hi.
Hi.
No, she's got the giggles.
That's totally fun. I am okay with a cute little girl with the giggles. And so I want to, before we get going here, just prep our listeners a little bit. Cece is not what you would call the biggest conversationalist in the world. She's with us in spirit here, and she's going to speak as much as she's comfortable speaking. We're fortunate to have her, her mother, Belinda, with us today, who can talk in depth about some of the campaigns. And we're going to prompt Cece every so often to jump in and give her thoughts as well. It's great to have you on the show. Belinda, I haven't had you on the show since, last year this time when we were doing our big Under the Sea campaign for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and when you were a guest on with Marion Rose from the Atlanta Knitting Guild and Pamela Hashke from Hail as a Hope. It's great to have you back.
It's good to be back. It seems like somehow, in some ways it feels like that's been longer than a year ago because we've done a lot of stuff. And in other ways, time goes by so fast, it seems like it shouldn't really have been that long at all. And we were talking about the other day and thinking about all the different toys Cece has learned to knit. And she was naming over some of her sea creatures for that campaign.
Oh, yeah, and you did some great sea creatures for that campaign. Cece, can you give our Fiber Hooligans just a, kind of a summary of some of your favorite things that you did for that campaign?
I don't really have a favorite.
She learned how – one big lesson she learned, and knitters will appreciate this, she learned about following directions, didn't you, Cece?
Yeah.
Because the sea turtle she did had flippers, and what would happen every time you knit flippers?
I'd get an extra stitch.
She'd get to the end, and she'd have an extra stitch, and she'd say, I don't know how this happened, because we've all been there. We follow the directions exactly as they're written, and there's one stitch too many when you get to the end.
Or one stitch too less.
So finally, she just decided one day she was going to figure it out, and she discovered that it wasn't just one stitch was showing up extra, she was reading the pattern wrong. And that was a really great lesson, because that never, ever happens to any of us grown-up knitters. We never read the patterns wrong.
No. It's remarkable, because you're the first knitter ever that that's ever happened to. You know, how do you feel about that?
She's frowning. I think she knows better, because she's watched me rip out way too many things. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that campaign and some of the cool things we did. But, you know, let's start at the beginning, as it were, for those Piper Hooligan listeners that don't know about you, Belinda, and UCC. Why don't we give them a little background about you? And let's start with you, Belinda. Let's tell our listeners where you're from and you became a knitter.
Yeah, I became a knitter in, I guess, about 2002 or 2003. So right around the time when Cece was born, I had decided I wanted to learn to knit. My mother was showing some early stages of Alzheimer's and actually forgetting how to knit. And probably one of the last things she really gave me was the ability to knit. I had watched her knit from childhood. She had made me things when I was little, and she even crocheted the bedspread Cece has in her room now. And what?
It's starting to come unraveled on one square.
Well, we can fix that. And I just wanted to learn how to knit and learn how to make things for my kids. So I learned to knit, and then when Cece was about four, I decided it was time for her to learn how to knit. So I taught her how, and of course, being a little kid, she would knit lots of just little garter stitch squares and little scarves for her webkins and just little things, or just start something to see what would happen if she did it a certain way. Four-year-olds aren't real great at finishing big projects, I don't think. And she would go for a long time and not knit at all, and then she would pick it back up and knit a little bit. And by the time she got to be about seven, she'd been watching me knit elephants, and she decided she was ready to learn how to knit a toy. So she knit her first elephant when she was seven.
Do you know, Cece, I got to ask, do you remember knitting that first elephant at all?
Kind of.
She still has him, actually. He's the only elephant she kept. And what did you name him?
Uno.
Yeah, Uno, because he was her first one. And I think he's from Cascade 220.
Cascade Superwash, I think.
Yeah. And he still sits in a special place in her room, because that was her very first elephant.
Well, that's great. And so, you know, and that was, you know, not the last elephant you ever knit. And so let's talk about that. You, Cece, came onto the national spotlights with Elephants Remember Joplin. And this is kind of a complex story. So, I'm going to ask your mom to tell, you know, what happened, how this got started. And there was a moment, a radio moment. So can you give us the background about how that all started, Belinda?
Yeah, I remember the day the tornado hit, I had seen a little bit about it on the news and probably seen a couple of people comment on Facebook, and I knew it was a big tornado, but it was really far from me. We'd never heard of Joplin, Missouri, didn't know anybody there, so it was just one of those news stories that kind of passed through my radar as I was going about my day, and I didn't really give it a whole lot of deep thought. And the next day, Cece and I were in the car, and what do we always do when we're in the car?
We listen to the news.
We always listen to the news on NPR. So we were listening to the news, and I think one of the great things about listening to the news on NPR is a lot of times, even when it is the news, it's a story, and it's interesting. And Cece was sitting back there, 8 years old, listening to the story, and she was real quiet, and then finally she said, "Cece, what did you say?"
"I want to help them."
And she said, "I want to help them." And I thought about that as she said it, because a lot of times kids have ideas and grown-ups don't really have time to accommodate the idea, or it's easy to think, well, I'll do something, and then you never do it, or, oh, I'll plan to donate later. And the funny thing about that is, you know, no one is famous for what they plan to do. Usually it's what you actually get done that counts. And I thought, well, you know, you can text $10 to the Red Cross, and we even talked about what the Red Cross did, and she wanted to help. And I realized that if I donated something, then she still wasn't helping. We were giving money, but it kind of disconnected her from the process. So finally I asked her what she thought she could do. And what did you think you could do?
I could knit elephants.
Yeah, she thought she could knit elephants for the children. And I thought, well, that would probably be doable. We could probably find a way to get the toys to the kids. And I kept looking at all the stories of how bad the damage was, and I thought, you know, it's nice to want to knit the toys, but those people really need money, and money is what gets help done the fastest in any situation like that. So I thought about the Red Cross, and I thought about Facebook, and we talked about the notion of different things that we've seen other people do, where they have a walk-a-thon or a read-a-thon, and you read or you walk or you do whatever for a certain amount of time, and people sponsor you. And we thought that might work with elephants. Cece could knit as many elephants as she can knit for about the next month, and we would start a little Facebook page, and maybe some family or friends would want to donate too, and we could raise a little money, and some of our friends on Ravelry. I'm part of a wonderful community on Ravelry, and a lot of them knit elephants and love to follow some of the things we were doing with the elephants. We had raised money for Haiti within that group and for the tsunami when that happened. We had had an auction within that group and raised several $1,000s. So I thought, well, I wasn't really on Facebook much at the time, but I thought we could just have a little page and do that. And I found a friend to help us. We let Cece name it. And I always think that it's really lucky that the first thing Cece didn't knit was an octopus, because I don't know where she would have come up with a name. But luckily for us, elephants remember things, and Cece decided to call it
Elephants Remember Joplin.
So we had Elephants Remember Joplin, and her Uncle Kai got on first thing the next morning, and he sponsored her $1 an elephant. And we were off and running, and she was knitting. Now that we're on our second elephant-a-thon, we've decided she has a traditional breakfast of choice. The first morning of the elephant-a-thon, what do you eat, Cece?
Fruity Pebbles.
She has a big old bowl of Fruity Pebbles to get her started, and she knits her elephants. And so she has her Fruity Pebbles, and she starts knitting her elephants, and we start posting pictures of the elephants as she gets them done. And people in Joplin start to see what she's doing. So we start getting, there were several really large pages that were helping tornado victims, and a couple of them picked up on Cece's story, and every time I would post about the newest elephant or how much she'd raised, they would post about it. So people in Joplin started noticing, and it was really, really neat to us to see how that gave them hope that a kid so far away in Kentucky would just want to help them. And more and more people started to give, and we did a story for the newspaper here. And by that point, a hotel owner in Springfield had offered us a few nights at a hotel, and some of our friends and church family decided we needed to go to Joplin. So they got us gift cards and gas cards, and we went to Joplin 1 month and 1 day after the tornado and worked with Boys and Girls Club of America and Little Hands Big Helpers, and we met first responders from the fire departments and ambulance services, and met kids that lost everything in the Joplin tornado, and Cece got to hand out elephants and meet people that had actually read about her and heard about her and were excited to see her and that she had come to Joplin to help them.
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of weird that they knew me, but I didn't know them.
Yeah, that was a really neat trip. And I figured, I figured really at that point we were done. Because Facebook, there's always a new story, and we had raised over $3,000. We'd been to Joplin. I thought we had pretty much accomplished our mission, and I was felt pretty sure that we were done. And I told my boss as we were leaving on the trip to Joplin, I said, you know, I'll get back from Joplin and everything will go back to normal. And I was wrong.
You were way
wrong. And I think she disagreed with you right on the spot, right?
Yeah, she just laughed at me when I said, oh, we'll go to Joplin and everything will get back to normal. And she just laughed at me and she's like, I don't think so. And did you want me to go on with the Knitting for Extreme Home Makeover? Do you want to?
Well, what I was going to say, yes, we'll get to that in just a second. The evolution of this story kept going. After you had done this thing, you continued to work on it. You started getting mainstream press. I've seen the video that was the first kind of local news story, and it was very compelling. But this was your first instance where you got involved with Ty Pennington when he was still doing Extreme Home Makeover. Can you tell us what he was doing and how you connected up with him?
Yeah, the city of Joplin followed Cece and would post about her on their page. And the assistant city manager contacted me and said that Extreme Home Makeover would be filming in Joplin and would Cece knit an elephant for Ty Pennington so the city could give it to him. And Cece, being Cece, wanted to knit for the tornado victims too, so she knit
a total of 8 elephants, including Ty's.
Yeah, it was 7 homes in 7 days was the show theme, and it was the very last episode of Extreme Home Makeover. And so Cece knit 8 elephants, and they have kind of a time when they walk through the city and they went to where the homes were being built, and they had a special time with the families. And the elephants were given to him and the homeowners privately. And I think people got all excited that we were doing it because they thought we would be on TV or the elephants would be on TV. And I know the night we watched, there were a few people that just were certain they saw elephants in the homes as they were showing the finished homes. But, we didn't hear anything right away from that, and we were okay with that. We knew Ty was really busy. We really didn't expect anything. I know the news reporter, when we sat down to do the story after Ty had thanked her, the news reporter asked Cece, she's like, well, what were you expecting Ty to do? And Cece said, well, I didn't really expect him to do anything. I just wanted to do something nice for him. And that was kind of how we looked at it. She just knit for him, and we kind of went on with our lives and doing stuff. And about a month after they shot the show, he blogged about Cece, and he took this great picture of him and his elephant, and he made sure he included her Elephants Remember Joplin Facebook page and the picture of her. And we packaged it up really cute because at the time we had heard Ty collects barf bags from airlines, and which that doesn't sound cute, but we had a similar style bag where I work that folds down and everything. So we made like an elephantish, kind of an elephant-themed barf bag to package the elephant in and send it to him. And he put all the pictures on there, and he was really, really good to just blog about Cece and make sure that his fans knew that that was special to him. Mm-hmm. And we really, it was really neat to see that he cared that much about making sure he did a good job saying thank you.
So, Cece, I got to ask you. I mean, do you go onto his blog one day, and there's a Ty holding up his elephant and thanking you. That had to be a special day for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, folks, you're gonna find that Cece is a woman of few words, but they count when they matter. So don't worry about it.
Like
yes.
Furb.
Yeah. She said she's like Ferb on Phineas and Ferb. She has a one-word answer. The great thing about when she was knitting for him, though, was a few of our friends had heard about it, and we were talking to somebody one day, and the lady, she's like, I thought Cece was knitting for Ty Pennington, and I was like, well, she is. And I was like, it's not going to be on the show. And I was trying to explain, thinking that was what she was asking. She's like, well, I asked Cece who she was knitting for, and all she would say was she was knitting for a nice man that built houses. So,
because at that time I didn't know.
Yeah, she really was just kind of low-key about it all along, and just he's a nice guy that builds houses.
Nothing wrong with that, that you're doing the right thing, and it's not all about the star power is exactly the right way to look at it. Besides that, you really did get a lot of mainstream press and articles being written about you and a lot of recognition. The Elephants Remember Joplin Facebook page, exploded. You all of a sudden got a lot of people following you on that page.
Yeah, and still, if you look at the statistics, our largest following is in Joplin and Springfield, Missouri. And it's Kentucky's a close second, but but we had so many people in Joplin and Springfield, and I would get calls from reporters saying, well, there's a fundraiser, because we kept sending toys to Joplin. We sent elephants to be auctioned off fairly regularly through the whole next year after the tornado. And because the elephants were at a auction, people would assume we were going to be there too. So reporters would call and say, can we interview you after the auction? And I would say, well, we're in Kentucky. We're nowhere near you. We're not going to be there. And she was on the front page of the Joplin newspaper. And on several radio stations, radio people would wind up talking about her. Or somebody would call in and tell her story. And because all of a sudden I would get a post on Facebook, hey, you guys are on the radio. And I would have no idea where or what was going on, but then people would be excited about it, talking about Cece was knitting elephants and helping the people in Joplin.
Well, and so the big story, and I have to tell you that although I was aware of what was going on in Joplin, of course, I somehow missed you guys. I did. I missed the whole Elephants Remember thing. I missed the Ty Pennington thing. It was just me personally being oblivious. I obviously was working on other stuff, and I just wasn't paying attention. And this was back when I was on social media all the time, as you guys remember from the old days. And I think, I'm pretty sure you and I, Belinda, were friends on Facebook, just personal friends on Facebook. And I became aware of it, of what you guys were doing. And then I to Molly in our office and said, hey, do you know about this really, you know, great kid that's doing this stuff? And she goes, oh, yeah, she's awesome. I've been following all that stuff. And so I was like the last guy in my office to know anything about this. Again, I'm sometimes so oblivious to things. But I got just enamored with both of you. And then I decided to, like, jump in with both feet. And I'll let you tell the story about that, Belinda, because I know that there was a point at which, you know, at least at the beginning of our conversation, you wondered, you know, what my deal was. And, what's up with this guy, you know. So please tell the story.
Well, you have to understand, too, 3 weeks before our first phone conversation, I was sitting with one of my friends in his office, and we were kind of having a what are you doing, what's your life plan here? We were just kind of having a session. We were sitting down trying to figure out, were we going to keep knitting elephants? Were we going to stop? And it kind of, we'd done the news report. Things had kind of slowed down, and I was figuring out what I wanted to do. And he's like, well, okay, what would be like a really cool thing you would just love to do? And I was like, well, Scott, I think it would be so cool if I could do one of those big knitting conventions and maybe even be on stage and tell our story. And it would just be really neat to go to something like that, because here in Kentucky, we don't have a lot of, in central Kentucky, anyway, we don't have a lot of yarn shops close by. We're not real close to any of the big events. And I said, those conventions look really fun. That would be neat to do. And so 3 weeks later, a guy shows up and says, hey, want to come to Stitches Midwest and we'd like for your daughter to teach? Yeah, that's a lot to take in. And it was just, I remember the first time you called, I was looking on Facebook, like scrolling through your profile while you're talking to me going, is this guy for real? Is there some kind of hook somewhere that I've missed? What's he up to? And of course you were totally for real and just so good to Cece and I. And it was just really kind of amazing that something I had mentioned, just, you know, a what if with a friend 3 weeks earlier, you know, turns into reality, and it was just really amazing to see that happen.
Well, and for Fiber Hooligan listeners that may have missed that, here's what happened. I get a hold of an idea, and it's like a dog with a bone. I just don't let it go. I was inspired by Cece, and my natural inclination is to think, okay, how can I share that with the people in my world? And I really felt like this was something that made sense in a live appearance kind of a thing. This is well before I had a podcast, of course. And so we talked about it. This is Midwest, and that was 2 years ago, and we talked about Cece teaching a class on knitting elephants. And then we, you know, did some other fun things too, and you know, it was great. We Cece, the yarn companies, which are our sponsors, were so good. They donated yarn, and you know, Cece made a great, really individual elephant for each yarn company with their yarn that we auctioned off. And, you know, Cece, you made some really beautiful elephants for the sponsor yarn companies. You know, do you remember which? You remember some of them? You did. I know you did one in riveting from Collage, and that was a cute one.
Jelly Bean from what? Prism?
I don't remember. It was a boucle. She loved that one. And actually, she had cashmere from Skisel, and she had Angora and
Windy Valley Muskox.
Yeah, Windy Valley Muskox. And actually, the cashmere had come up today because the nice thing about yarn companies is they were so generous with Cece. They didn't just give her one little ball of yarn to do the one elephant with for the auction. They all rose to the occasion and gave her more than she would need, and choices and different kinds of yarn so that she could really be creative. And with her current project, she's needing to be creative. And today, she was able to pull out a second ball of pink cashmere yarn from Skisel. And now that yarn is continuing to do good work, about, what, a year and a half later? And she's continuing to be inspired creatively from the generosity of so many companies.
I have a scarf made from the boucle yarn, too.
Yeah, she learned
Not
to weave.
Not jelly beans, though.
Yeah, she learned to weave with some boucle, too, didn't you, Cece?
Yep.
Was that Fiesta's yarn?
No, Fiesta. Oh, well, it was a brand new colorway called Harlequin, I think. It was really, it's one that was had a, I think, a mohair and something.
Mohair spun with that really cool metallic thread.
Yes, so it's Starburst.
Yeah, Starburst.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it.
Well, since we're talking about the other cool things, and folks, there were these great elephants that got auctioned off, and, you know, there was some money that was raised about that, but there was also another fundraising thing, and that was a very special class where all the proceeds from the class went directly to Homes of Hope Joplin, our friend Charlie Brown. I kid you not, his name is Charlie Brown, that took that in for us. Because that's who you guys have worked with a lot. And we had some help with that, too. The first person that helped us is, you know, Belinda provided us with the pattern for knitting. And our good friend, designer and author, Myra Wood, converted it to crochet. So we had both knitting and crochet instructions for the elephants. And then we got Drew Amborski, the crochet dude himself, to agree to come and be co-elephant wrangler so that he would teach the crochet part of the elephant class. And then our good friend Jeannie Randolph over at Fiesta Yarns kitted these things at her own expense with the eyes and the safety eyes and the yarn and the pattern. And the cool thing about that is that yarn was your yarn, Cece.
Yeah, she, Cece's smiling. Yeah, Jeannie was so awesome, and she gave Cece, like, some options on how she could put colors together, and Cece got to choose and create her own custom colorway, and I think on the package it even said Cece approved. And I know that was just really special to Cece to see something she did packaged up like that, that it was, it kind of, like, Cece and I both say we have little moments along the way that make it real. And that was one of those moments that made it real, because there was Cece on a package with her elephant raising money, and it was so cute, and the pattern was just cute, and that was really special.
Well, you did a great job in that class. Midwest is the show that I tend to bring my family with, and so my dear wife Krista was there, and my daughter Samantha, my sons Gabriel and Christopher. I don't think Gabriel made an elephant, but I think the rest of the gang did in that class. And then it was pretty amazing, and you were very good on stage, I have to say, Cece. You were very good. She's smiling again. Smiles.
Yeah, she actually went and got her yarn, because she has kept one skein of Jeannie's special yarn, and she went and got her yarn. So it's too bad this isn't FaceTime. You could see the yarn.
Okay. Well, We can certainly post some pics on Ravelry, you know, because we have some of those left over. It was a pretty special weekend all the way around. It was your first big knitting convention. Actually, that's not true. You guys did come to South as guests just before that, right?
Yeah, we came to South in April before that to kind of see what it would be like and meet everybody, and that was a lot of fun. And of course, Cece, with all the knitting and crocheting going on, Cece learned a very important life skill while she was at Midwest. Cece, what did you learn?
To swim.
Cece learned how to swim from Gabriel. And a lot of times she will completely baffle people because they will ask her about the knitting convention, and they'll ask her, you know, what was the best part, and she'll say, I learned to swim. And somehow they're just not expecting swimming to be the thing she talks about. But she had been very, very afraid of water, and it was just, it's wonderful that she got over her fear and she learned to swim while we were there.
Well, Gabriel's a good boy, and he is a boy with, this is my son, Gabriel, who's essentially, you know, right around your age, Cece. I think he might be a year older, is that correct? I always forget exactly, but he's without fear. I always tell people he's feral. You guys, you know, you hung out with my kids most of the weekend, and we had a really good time. I mean, it was just a fun, kind of inspiring family weekend where we raised some money for Homes of Hope Joplin. You know, you are now, you know, officially the youngest teacher that we've ever had at a show. I don't know how anybody, we're ever going to probably hire somebody that's ever younger than you, but you never say never. It was really almost the perfect weekend. We got to know you guys better and hang out with you and really, you know, make you a part of our world. And we really consider you friends. My whole family does. They came back and are knitting like crazy. And, you know, with the one downside, of course, that there was some shenanigans going on. I should preface this story by saying that early on, as we were starting to talk about Cece coming to the show, she did something really sweet. She knit me this wonderful little elephant that you've probably seen a ton of pictures on, and I named him Percival. And Percival goes with me everywhere. Percival has gone all over the country with me. He's been to Canada with me. He's been, he even went to England with me once. He has goes to every show, and I keep him around. He's, you know, I now have a bunch of elephants because my kids have knit elephants for me, but I keep Percival with me all the time. And there was shenanigans going on, and I don't want to point the finger at Cece because she was the responsible one in this, and I really think that you owe Fiber Hooligans an explanation about what exactly happened here.
Well, you're an easy mark. I'm sorry. Don't point your finger at me. Yeah, trying to blame Cece and made her all angry because your elephant disappeared. And you were just a very easy mark. It's really hard to resist temptation when it's just sitting there waiting for something to happen.
And I had no idea it happened.
No, you're a good girl in your household. There should be at least one good girl in your household. So for Fiber Hooligans that don't know, my favorite elephant, my compadre Percival, was kidnapped. Kidnapped was the word that I'm going to use. And there were ransom notes that were sent to me throughout the course of the weekend. And there were a lot of people that were involved in it. Cece was not one of those people. And yes, I did falsely accuse her, which I apologize. She was kept in the dark. She was kept in the dark about this, but there was a kidnapping going on. And with even ransom letters with cut out letters from magazines, they weren't always spelled well. But
I'm very proud of the letters because I worked hard on. I did not misspell anything. A letter fell off. It's very hard to craft in the floor of the bathroom
without me knowing.
Because I would have to tell Cece I was going to get a bath just randomly throughout the day, and then I would turn on the water for a minute, and then I would sit in the floor and cut out letters, and I cut them out from the show book because I knew you would recognize that someone had desecrated a show book for this task. And the hotel staff was wonderful. They were absolutely gleeful to see me coming and just couldn't wait to deliver a note or see how they could be involved next. And yeah, it was just too good of an opportunity to pass up.
Yeah, well, everybody had fun, and my family delighted in watching me go, you know, crazy about this thing. Because it's not like I thought anything was wrong. It's just I hate not having my stuff and not knowing what's going on. I'm really a control freak, as we all know. But we're going to move on from that. I've since gotten my elephant back, although there was an imitation that was sent to me. We won't talk about that. And Percival's back with me, so it's okay. We're done with that now. And you know, I'm watching you from now on, though, Belinda. I'm watching you.
You'll try, but you can't keep up, I'm afraid. And I throw that out there simply because I sent you a talking elephant that you couldn't find in your office.
Okay, that I was kind of involved in.
Yeah, Cece's confessing. She was very, very excited about talking Percival. But yeah,
Pandora, you mean?
No, I don't. What?
Yes,
I don't,
that's what we called her.
And, yeah, you're just a very easy mark.
See, folks, this is like, and the problem is that they got my whole family involved too. So I'll tell the story. They cloned Percival. They knit Percival almost exactly the way he was, at least enough that I couldn't tell the difference. And it was the same size and everything. And she put an Eviltron in it, which is one of these things that randomly, you know, says stuff. And they got my family involved, and I was hearing voices. And my family knew exactly what was going on and said, oh, Benjamin, you know, Dad, you're hearing stuff. You know, and they just messed with me for like 2 days on this thing until I finally figured out that I was being played again. Yeah, no, I got gotten multiple times on this thing. It seems like every single time I think that Belinda has, you know, moved on from me as the target, I find myself still in the crosshairs. But I'm going to learn. Anyway, let's move on from that. Later on, of course, you know, we kept in touch with you, and it was what happened at that Midwest was so great that, you know, we did an article about Cece and Elephants Remember Joplin for Knitters Magazine. That was a lot of fun to do. I was involved in writing that one up. And after that, there were a number of fiber arts magazines that also did stories. Can you tell us about some of the other ones?
Cece was in Vogue Knitting, and she was also in Knit and Style magazine. And of course, a lot of different – I even still will occasionally run across a knitter's blog or something where somebody shared her story, and I won't even have found it until I'm Googling something else, and it'll pop up. And so there were a lot of knitters that really embraced her story and embraced her being a kid knitting. And she's been to several yarn stores and talked to them about knitting elephants and her different projects. And it's been knitters are great. I always tell people in interviews, knitters are all in on projects. If they see somewhere they can help, they're all in. They want to be part of it. They want to support the community. And they want to support young people that are learning how, and that and they're just such giving people. Knitters and crocheters are. They love to give and help others.
Well, I understand that I remember reading the article in Vogue Knitting. I understand that you actually sent a knitted elephant over to somebody at Soho. What did you knit, and who did you send it to?
Trisha Malcolm has an elephant Cece knit for her, but I don't think either of us remember what that one looked like. And she named it, or she emailed us back, and people are always great to email us back and tell us what they named their elephants. And
is that the little orange sock yarn elephant?
Might have been a sock yarn elephant. It's hard to keep track. There have been a lot of elephants. Cece doesn't know. People always expect us to know how many we've knit, and neither one of us have a clue. But, yeah, Trisha was really – she thought it was great that she got her own elephant. And Vogue, it was neat to be a part of Vogue. And then Knit and Style did a really neat, colorful – we enjoyed that interview because Cece enjoyed that interview very much because she didn't actually have to talk to anyone to do that. We got to email questions, and that was really fun to answer some new questions and talk about her knitting.
Well, she's good at that. Folks, I have to tell you that you know, you're not going to hear Cece talk a lot today, but she's with us in spirit, and what we get from her is great. But she does write. There's many times where it's a holiday, or she's heard that I'm under the weather, or I get a really lovely little drawing card, maybe a little plastic toy. Occasionally, I get elephant confetti that I spill all over the floor, but that's a whole other conversation we won't get into. That's more about my klutziness than anything else. But yeah, she's one of those people that does pretty well with the writing.
Actually, Mom does the the ringing the cards for the elephant confetti.
Oh, now quit telling my secrets, kid. She knows I have a certain way I put the confetti in so that it will make a mess.
Yeah. I don't think anybody doubts that about you. No, I don't think anybody doubts that about you now. What you got to understand, folks, is that Cece is this really, really sweet gal who's always looking out for other people, and her mom's got an evil streak. And fortunately, she's decided to focus it mostly on me. But I'll move on from that right now. So, you know, Cece, you sent, a lot of people elephants, people that need them. But you also make an attempt to send elephants to, how should we say, higher profile people, more famous people, just to remind them that there's a need to help get the press out, which I think is a really smart thing to do. Can you tell us about some of the people that you've sent elephants to?
Sure. Ryan Williams has one in his office, the Oak Ridge Boys, President Jimmy Carter, Debbie McComber, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, Mayor Cory Booker, and, of course, Ty Pennington.
Great. I know you sent lots more. Those are just the tip of the iceberg. And, you know, it's very cool. And most of them have gotten back to you and said thank you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a wonderful letter from Brian Williams who told her about his first job, because one reason she picked him was one of his early jobs was I can't remember if it was Joplin or Springfield, but he was in that area as a reporter. And she had really enjoyed hearing his coverage of the Joplin tornadoes, and she just wanted to thank him for continuing to cover that story. And he wrote her the best letter talking about how much he got paid and even kind of the apartment he had and different things about his life as he was just beginning his career. And he keeps his elephant in his office at NBC, and it's sitting on top of a brick from the Joplin High School that was destroyed. And he had gotten a brick while he was in Joplin, so he has kind of a Joplin shelf, and that's where Cece's elephant is.
Well, good for you. Now, after this, of course, you know, you moved on and you've done some other things, and I'd like to focus on a couple of things that, you know, you folks have been involved with. And, of course, one of the things that is worth talking about is every single time there's a natural disaster, you get involved with those things. And, well, I mean, I think that people kind of say, oh, you know, will Elvis River Joplin get involved? And so what else have you been involved with to support fundraising for other natural disasters that have happened?
Moore, Oklahoma tornado.
Hurricane Sandy.
Camp Noah, which is a camp for kids that have been through national disasters. There was a tornado in West Liberty, Kentucky, which was fairly close to us, so we auctioned off a few elephants and raised some money for them. We're actually now kind of watching the mudslide situation in Washington and seeing if there will be an opportunity to help and encourage there, because that was pretty awful, wasn't it, Cece?
Yeah, I've been hearing about that on the news.
And it's hard to remember. I've never really sat down and just kept a list of everywhere we've helped. Sometimes we will see a story in passing, and it's been very easy. We have wonderful supporters, and it's been easy to just go, hey, we can do something about that. And instead of saying, how can we help, Cece's immediately responds with, you know, what are we doing, you know? She's sure that she can help. She just has to know what that's going to look like.
It's not can we help, it's how can we help.
And so we've had a lot of neat opportunities to serve when there's been a disaster. And then we also work with Kids Need to Read, and we've worked with other organizations in our downtime when we get the chance to work with kids or we see somebody that we think needs encouraging. And it's just fun to always be on the lookout for the next thing that we can do.
Well, yeah, you are always active out there, and you swerve and move on a dime. And I know that there are times when you're supporting more than one effort at a time. And again, this is not your full-time job. It's not like you don't have other things to do. And so I think it's pretty commendable. The last big thing, that, of course, that I think that we worked on together was almost a year ago, and we talked about it a little early on. In combination with Halos of Hope and the Atlanta Knitting Guild, we did the Under the Sea for Kids campaign. It was a tat and a toy drive for the children going through cancer in Atlanta. And that was a big campaign. I mean, we did a lot of work on that together. I think you were on in my second podcast for that, and we got a lot of response from that. And Cece rolled up her sleeves and did some good stuff. What was that like?
That was fun. Well, that was fun because Cece, do you get just a little bored with elephants sometimes?
Yeah. Well, not so much with turtles because all I have to knit are the flippers. Belly, the occasional shell sometimes.
And she knit, yeah, she started knitting turtles for that one. You knit, remember the goldfish?
The goldfish that I messed up on the top.
Yeah, and then she knit an angelfish.
I still have that somewhere.
And she knit, oh, you knit a crab. We did a crab for that one. And she's not remembering.
I don't remember a crab.
Yeah, we knit a crab. I remember the crab because he was. I remember the crab because sewing him together was terrible, I think. Is
oh, yeah, with the four legs that I'm used to.
And I did, and I knit a hermit crab and an octopus on that one. And sometimes Cece will just sit and watch because she's always, like, enjoys learning new techniques. And that's when she started learning, like, short row shaping and starting to learn and sewing how all the pieces fit together, because elephants really only have a body and ears. And as she was learning fish and more complicated things, there were more parts to figure out, and she would dig through the bin and pick out the perfect eyes for them. And she'd always post what she was working on Facebook, and then other people would see that pattern, and then they would want to jump in. And it was so fun to go to the mailbox. Cece still gets excited about going to the mailbox all the time because we just never know when we're going to get more toys from somebody. And then it's fun to see how other people make things. And we had, I think we brought two big bags of toys to Atlanta last year, and it was so fun to see what everybody created. And we had toys that came from Germany and Israel and not just in the United States. We had toys that came from Europe and all over the place for the kids in Atlanta.
Yeah, it was pretty great. And, you know, it's one of those, a lot of things came together. You know, Pam, of course, from Hills of Hope, you know, does the hat thing, and she's a great marketer. And we had the help of the Atlanta Knitting Guild, who really stepped up and did a lot of work for that as well. And it just so happened that we could do this, you know, basically the same weekend that we were doing Stitches South. So all of us could be in the same place, which was cool. I mean, it was really cool to have us all in the same place, just, you know, doing it together. I really had a blast that weekend. The newest thing that you've gotten involved with is something that Ty Pennington started, and of course you had a relationship with Ty Pennington, and this is one of the big reasons why I wanted to have you on the show today, because this is something that I'm going to have, there's going to be a call to action for you fiber hooligans at the end of this. So, Belinda, please tell us the story about what Ty is doing and how you got involved with this newest thing.
Well, ever since Ty blogged about Cece the first time, she always said she wanted to do something nice for him. He was very kind to her. She said, you know, I want to someday do something nice for Ty. And so I said, well, you know, we'll keep an eye. We watch on Facebook, like when he would post things. I follow him on Twitter. And in January, he started a campaign for Pencils of Promise. And what does Pencils of Promise do, Cece?
Build schools for kids that don't have an actual school to go to.
Yeah, they build schools, and the school that Ty is building is in Guatemala. They also build schools in Guam and
Laos.
And Laos, yes, that's correct. It was started by a guy named Adam Braun, and he was backpacking. I don't even know where he was, but he was handing stuff out to kids that were begging in the street, and he asked a little boy, he's like, if you could have anything in the world, what's the one thing you would want? And what did that kid want, Cece?
A pencil.
He just wanted a pencil. And, you know, I'm sure your daughter is a wonderful artist, so I'm sure there's no shortage of writing utensils in your house. Cece hoards ink pens like a squirrel. We have markers and ink pens and crayons. And gel pens and all kinds of things to write with. It's hard for us to imagine how small the world is if you don't have things to read, you don't have things to write with. And Cece was just appalled by the idea of, like, you know, you don't have a school. You go to school out under a tree, and there's no bathroom, and there's no place that's your school. And so she loved Pencils of Promise. And Ty had raised, I guess when we started getting involved, he'd raised just over $21,000. And Cece got excited and said, well, we can auction off an elephant. And that'll be an easy, you know, that's something we can do right now and that'll help. So she made this cool little elephant. He was a steampunk elephant. So he had a little top hat, a turnkey. And
gear monocle.
Yeah, a little gear monocle and little gears on his belly. And a lady paid $105 for him. And she chose to remain anonymous, but she commented that she was doing it in honor of Cece. And Ty saw that, and he remembered Cece. And he did a whole Throwback Thursday post and talked about how Cece had knit for him before, and then here she was, you know, a year and a half, almost 2 years later, she's back, and somebody helped her help him, and he thought that was really neat. And I saw it when it went up on Twitter. He commented on it, and I tweeted back to him, "We'd love to help you. Cece would love to knit and figure out a way to help you finish this school." And he tweeted back to me, "We'll just contact my people and we'll get something started." And his people saw that, and before I even had a chance to figure out what to do next, they had given me a call and got a hold of me. And there we were, and they wanted to know what the plan was. And they loved the elephant auctions, and we love auctioning off little elephants, and it's a neat way to raise money, but the elephants go from anywhere between $100 and $400 a piece. So really, once an elephant gets to $100, $150, a lot of people don't have the kind of disposable income to buy a stuffed elephant for that kind of money. So it leaves people out. And Ty's really big on community. So we brainstormed about it, and we decided the best way to build community and really rally everybody together was for Cece to do another elephantathon. So starting March 10th through April 7th, Cece's knitting as many elephants as she can. And you just finished number eight, and she's already got the pink cashmere for number nine. And people have sponsored her per elephant, and she has several sponsors. We need lots more sponsors. We would love for lots of people to sponsor her per elephant. And she did a radio show a few weeks ago. The guys at the radio station just loved her and loved talking to her, so they raised $500 for her. And so other people are helping her help Ty Pennington build the school in Guatemala. She's got a whole team of college students that are doing a big fundraiser next week at the university. And they're
having a poster-making party on Monday.
Yeah, they're having a party for her on Monday, and they're raising money for her. And it's a chance where if you can sponsor her per elephant, anybody can donate. A dollar an elephant, it's not like she's going to knit 500 elephants in a month. Her goal is 13 or 14. I kind of think she might hit 20 elephants. So if you sponsor a dollar an elephant, there's a $20 donation. And when you look at the hours she spends, it takes her probably about 4 to 5 hours an elephant. So she's got several hours invested in this thing. And it's just really neat for her to watch as more people donate. Right now, all the donations put together, each elephant she knits raises $21. And it would be fabulous if that were $51 or $101 an elephant, because it's a great math lesson to see how the money grows as more and more people give. And it's a great opportunity for everybody to be a part of getting a school for kids that really want to have a place to learn. And we're just excited to get to be part of it and just to get to help Ty do this.
And this the sponsoring happens up on Ty Pennington's site?
Now, that happens on our page. People, I think people expect it to be like a specific button or special way you do it, but we're really pretty casual about it. We figure if you come to us and say, I'm going to give you my word, I'm going to sponsor Cece a dollar an elephant, we just believe that you have a good heart and you're telling us the truth, and we're just going to expect that when we're done knitting all the elephants and the numbers are all totaled, that donation will be made, and we put the link up to the website. But we tell people, just come to Elephants Remember Joplin, and we try to put, and I'll make sure the link is up Monday so people can see it on our page there. But, you know, just tell us, hey, I would like to sponsor Cece $3 an elephant, or $2, or $100, or however much they want to give, And I just kind of keep track because it's fun to keep a list. We have a little list on my phone of everybody that we have so far and how much they're giving. And then as we wind the campaign up, we'll just remind people, hey, if you said you're going to give, now is the time to make your donation. Cece has knit however many elephants Cece has done by then. And, you know, and help people figure out the total if they need a little help. And we'll show them, because you can donate just to Pencils of Promise, but everybody that has a campaign building a particular school has their own page. And you can go to Ty's website or on our page and go specifically to his school, which is La Independencia, and give specifically to the school.
All right, so there's two methodologies that people can get involved. First of all, they can go up to your Facebook page, Elephants Remember Joplin, and they can sponsor per elephant or whatever they want to do. They can just donate however they want. But if they wanted to just do a one-time donation, they could go up to typennington.com, find that, and donate whatever they wanted to donate up there for the school as well. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. So Barbara Hooligans, I'm going to challenge you here. You know, if you want to get involved and you want to be a part of what Cece is doing, I'm going to encourage you to jump up to the Elephants Remember Joplin page on Facebook and, you know, think about donating a dollar per elephant. You know, it's not going to be that much money. If you, you know, don't have a lot of income and you want to make a small contribution, what I'm going to suggest is that you jump up to typennington.com and donate $1. And I've done the math on this. A Fiber Hooligan show within the first week or 2 weeks is downloaded anywhere between 4,000 and 5,000 times, which means that I've got about 4,000 or 5,000 listeners that listen to the show, each show. And I expect this will be a well-downloaded episode because we've got Belinda and Cece here today. If every single one of you even just did $1, we could finish this school off, and we could say that the Knitters and Crocheters, the Fiber Hooligans, helped build that school. And so I'd like to challenge you to join me. As soon as I'm done, I'll be the first one up there to donate some money myself. So, again, love to invite you to join me on that. So, yeah, this is pretty great what you're doing, Cece. Are you getting tired of the elephants yet, or are you still hanging in there?
Still hanging in there.
Yeah,
oh, good.
The fun thing with Ty on this campaign, and I am B-Creech, B-E-C-R-E-E-C-H on Twitter, if anyone wants to follow me on Twitter, because Ty will tweet suggestions to Cece for what color she should do her elephants. Like, the very first elephant, we wanted it to be special, so what did Ty ask you to do, Cece?
He wanted it done in the colors of the Guatemala flag.
So Cece looked up the Guatemalan flag on iPad, and she made a blue and white elephant. And then what's Ty's favorite color?
Orange.
Orange, and you knit she was knitting a gray elephant, so she figured out a wonderful little technique and added orange to the gray elephant and then knit a baby orange elephant to go with it. And then Ty really loves the beach, so she did one that's kind of got an ocean theme, and he's got a seahorse. And
see little fish.
Yeah, little fishes on his back, and he's out of a hand-dyed yarn from our friend Dan Brewer at Gnome Spun Yarns that's got a really pretty blue and green to it. And then we found out Ty told Cece his favorite football team, which is the
Atlanta Falcons.
So the Atlanta Falcons now have a chubby little red and black elephant holding the football, and she just finished him up today. And, of course, for St. Patrick's Day, she knit a green elephant for St. Patrick's Day.
Finished him on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, and we're waiting now to see what some of Ty's new ideas are going to be. He has a really great sense of color, so we're excited to see what adventure he's going to have planned for Cece next.
You know, one of the things that I know about you is that through your journey in helping other people, you've made some really good connections, and you know, there are lots of people that walk in and out of our lives that. It's fine, but then there are some people that you make a connection with that stay with you. And you've made some pretty respectable connections and some good friends out there that really have stuck with you and continue to interact with you. And I'm wondering if you want to talk about some of your kind of favorite people from the industry that you're still in touch with, that still are supportive and help with, you know, just saying, you know, here you go and good luck and add a girl kind of thing.
Cece, we forgot to tell Benjamin, what was the first elephant unit for Ty's campaign this time? Not the first one. He would have been the second one. What was the second one? What was that one made out of, Cece?
Buffalo wool spun with 14-karat gold.
Yeah, Cece got, Ron Miskin gave Cece some buffalo gold to do a special elephant because Ty has such a heart of gold for charity. So Cece knit the buffalo gold elephant, and he's just adorable. And we put him up for auction, and lo and behold, if Ron Miskin didn't just buy his own elephant back. So we're going to have to mail that out to him in the next week or so. But, yeah, the Buffalo Wool Company, they're great. And, you know, giving a kid 14-karat gold yarn to knit with, they must be kind of crazy. I kind of think Ron might be a little crazy. But they are wonderful, wonderful people. We enjoy them so much. Urban Gypsies, who I kind of knew. I knew a friend of hers before we were at Stitches South, but we met her at Stitches South. And Stacy does some wonderful hand-dyed yarns, and she is really great. The first time I mentioned doing pencils, she immediately sent CC yarn that would be good pencil-colored yarn. And I mentioned Gnome Spun, Dan Brewer. He's a good friend to CC, and he loves to take her imagination and turn it into yarn. And Nikki Epstein is sweet. CC, what'd you get from Nikki recently? You haven't had time to knit anything from it, but what did you get?
Her newest doll clothes knitting book. It's got a lot of neat stuff in there.
Yeah.
And a couple of the sweaters are made from the Lion Brand bonbons.
Yeah, Lion Brand bonbons. Cece's, one of these days she's going to be done with elephants and critters a little while and knit some doll clothes. And
calling us anytime soon.
You still got a few more elephants to knit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people are great. And that Benjamin Levesay guy, he's pretty awesome. He's always a good supporter to us and interested in our project. We're fond of him.
Well, and I think you also have another fan out there. He's been a guest on my show before. I'm speaking of Franklin Habit, of course. I remember that I believe that Franklin Habit actually drew you an original picture and signed it for you, right, Cece?
Yeah, it hangs in her room. He drew her an elephant, and he actually helped her with the technique she used for Ty's gray elephant with orange. She actually learned from a recent nitty where Franklin designed a marvelous piece in plaid, and Cece was absolutely just fascinated with the plaid, and so she figured out the one thing he used where he wove yarn up through the garter stitching on that, and it wound up being the perfect technique for adding a little color to an elephant. And one of these days there's going to be a plaid Franklin-inspired elephant. We just haven't had the time to pick all the colors out yet.
That could be number 10.
You know, you think that's going to be number 10? I guess we're going to find the time to pick out the colors.
I guess so. See what you started there, Franklin? All right. Well, it's good. I just wanted to, I thought it was worth noting a few people out there who have been, you know, diehard supporters of yours and who've, you know, kept in touch and kept encouraging. You know, I know that there's a lot of yarn companies out there that, you know, if they hear that you need yarn, just send it to you. But, you know, especially I wanted to give a shout out to Ron and Teresa Miskin, who have been, you know, unbelievably supportive of the organization.
Yeah, they're great. Ron's always great. If I need to just talk to somebody for a minute, and I'm trying to figure something out, and they're just wonderful. I wish the Buffalo Wagon would be just in our driveway any day now. That would be just wonderful, and they're great. It's always great to have good people in your corner, and the knitting and fiber industry is full of a lot of really good people.
Right, and you know, for your crocheters that are listening, and you know, here's the thing: that Belinda and CC are primarily knitters, but they both can crochet. In fact, there's a great picture that I have from Stitches South. It was either last year, I think it was last year actually, that Marley Bird was sitting in the Halos of Hope booth teaching CC how to crochet. And I know that crochet is something you guys always want to get back to and do more with.
Yeah, we do. I'm terribly terrible about thinking, oh, well, when I have time, I'll learn that. And I had time when I was about Cece's age, and I was sitting on the couch with my grandmother, and I can remember sitting there on the couch and her showing me how to crochet, and she would crochet with sewing thread and made beautiful, beautiful things, but unfortunately it did not stick when I was 10 or 11 years old, and it's one of those things I say, oh, when I have time, I'm going to get back to crocheting, and then we get into the next raising money or the next project where we need lots of toys, and I do not create time for myself to learn that. But it's definitely on both of our bucket lists. We have several crochet books, and we look at technique, and Cece will...
I still know the single and double stitch.
Yeah, Cece can single and double and...
Chain,
and she'll do some of those things, making bracelets. And one of these days, we may just have to come to stitches and actually really learn how to crochet.
Well, I understand one of the big problems that we're having right now, Cece, is that you don't have enough hooks, right?
Yeah.
They all want to run away from bracelet making.
Yeah, the little rubber band bracelets, which a lot of people, if you have a kid probably under the age of 13, if you have a girl, they have wanted a plastic loom and little bitty rubber bands. And one of the handiest tools for making little rubber band bracelets is a crochet hook. And somehow it seems like all of Cece's hooks are the same size, and then they all disappear at the same time, which is,
well,
you know.
Except for the other one, the hook broke off.
Well, it was plastic, I think, yeah. She, just like all of us with our tools, the scissors or the hooks, or it seems like one day you have all of them, and the next day they've all vanished. And so Cece is always on the hunt for a crochet hook to use for some of her projects. And she makes, she does a lot of beading with the bracelets, and she's enjoyed a lot of that. And she will occasionally even figure out how to run some beads on her crochet. She'll chain a bracelet and add a few beads. So, yeah, crocheting, that probably ought to be on our bucket list this year, Cece. Yeah, we ought to work some more on that, shouldn't we?
I'll probably crochet a cat this summer.
You want to crochet a cat?
I've still got the book somewhere, and there's a really good pattern of a cat.
Yeah, when Cece's not knitting elephants, she loves cats and has a cat, a book that's full of knitted and crocheted cats. So if we ever need a cat-themed project, she's going to be ready.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. Well, you know, speaking of hooks, I think I might know a few people that could probably send you a couple of hooks. I have a feeling that between, you know, the three of us, we might be able to get a few hooks. So we'll work on that when the episode is over. I'd like to move on real quickly because, you know, one of the things that I think is really important is there's the stuff you do, but then there is the broader message. You know, Cece has now been really identified as somebody that is a model for young people that give back. I mean, that is the broader message that I think she's getting, and people are asking both of you to talk about that. And so I was wondering, let's talk about that a little bit. What is that larger message that it's okay to get, you roll up your sleeves and get involved?
Well, and it's you're never too young to learn how to do something. She's had an opportunity to speak to children, and one thing she likes to tell them was, yes, she did learn to knit when she was four, and she practiced it a while, and then when the opportunity came for her to use her skills, she was ready. And everybody's probably not going to knit. They're going to be people that play sports or draw or do other things, but if you don't train, if you don't practice, then when your time comes, you're not ready. And she's actually, Monday afternoon, we're going to be Skyping with a class in Chicago. She's really excited about that. And they have been brainstorming. They have a list of questions, and they're excited about talking to her. And our one audience we have, which we weren't expecting, was young people that are older than her, college students. Our university teaches a class called First Class that all freshmen are required to take, and it's about servant leadership. And we spoke to a class, and then on Monday we are going back to speak to another class who were so inspired by her story that they decided that their first class project would be to raise money to help Cece. And it's really neat to get to make friends with these college kids that are kind of setting their course for life. And what a better model of servant leadership that they're willing to learn from and partner with somebody that's years younger than them. So that's really neat. And because we're talking about being young and helping others, so tell me the turbo quote.
I can't remember the name of the racer, but what he said was, there's no dream too big and no dreamer too small.
from the movie Turbo. She heard that quote, and that's been really special to her. And she does dream big. When we first heard about Ty's project and we started looking into it, I looked at $25,000 and thought, wow, that's kind of a big project. And Cece said, what did you tell me?
That's not an unreachable goal. I think knitting can build a school.
See, as Cece is now stuck on, she thinks knitting can build a school. And this may not be the last project we do as Pencils of Promise. We're looking at different ideas and thinking about what it would be like if knitting did build a school.
Well, to the extent that we can help, we're going to sure try. And if you back up and take another swing at this in the future, I hope you'll come back on the show so we can get involved on the early stage of this and help get that word out, okay?
Yeah, well, we will. Yeah, now that she's thought about it, I've created just a complete monster for fundraising because, you know, other people, you know, she's taught at Stitches, other people enable her to dream big and realize, hey, you know, anybody can make a difference. You find what you can do and you get in there and do it. And there's, I just wonder, you know, in 5 years, what kind of money will look like, not a huge amount to her? What will her projects look like then if this is where she is now at 11? The $25,000 is, hey, Mom, that's not that big of a deal. I bet we could figure that out.
Well, good for both of you, and keep dreaming big. So we're coming down to the end of our show, and so the second to last questions are there any shout-outs you'd like to make to anybody that we didn't talk about today?
I guess I would like to give a shout-out to Cece's dad, my husband Chad, who puts up with all of our craziness on a regular basis and listens to our big dreams and puts up with whatever project we've decided to launch and live with the chaos and take care of the household and make sure that we get to do the things that really bless our hearts and make us happy. And we're pretty thankful for him and for Cece's big brother, Kai, and how he will load the dishwasher when he knows I'm busy on social media or I'm in a meeting, and how he doesn't pester his sister too much when he knows she's working hard on a project.
And occasionally give me tips on how to be a better Super Smash Brothers player.
Yeah, he will occasionally help her with her video gaming and be kind to her. And yeah, so we'd like to shout out to them because they help us do what we do, and they rarely ever get any credit for it. So we'd like to thank them when we CC.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good place to remember to do a shout-out. Okay, so before we wrap this up, I've warned you guys. I warned all my guests in a pre-interview that I'm going to ask these questions, put you on the spot, and I'd like to ask if you have a final message that you'd like to share with our listeners, and we'll start with you, Belinda.
I've thought of this, and I've had so many different ideas. And, of course, this is supposed to be a few words, and that's just – I don't have a few words. I have a lot of words for everything. And I finally come back around to one of my favorite authors and his notion that love does. And that's the title of his book, Love Does. Love doesn't talk about doing things. Love doesn't just have a plan and then never act on it. Love does. And I think if that's one message that I really carry close to me, that – you should do your best to love others, and if you love, you're just going to do what it takes to help out.
Well, that's a wonderful way to go, and nice and simple and right on point. So now I'll put you on the spot, Cece. What would you like to say?
Sometimes a little elephant can make a big difference.
Good girl. I was hoping you'd use that one. That's fantastic. Well, you guys were... It was wonderful to have you here on the show today. I think that our listeners are going to love the show. Well, I know that they're going to love the show. So thank you again for joining us today, ladies, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
We hope you have a wonderful day, too. We have so enjoyed talking about the things that are so dear to our hearts.
Well, thank you, Belinda. And Cece, you are getting better all the time as far as speaking. Thanks for giving it your best shot and speaking to us as much as you did.
And she just kind of rolled her eyes.
Yeah.
That's okay. All right. All right, ladies. You have a good one, and I'll talk to you both soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. That was Belinda and Cece Creech. You can keep up with what they're doing on their Facebook page, Elephants Remember Joplin. And you can donate directly to Pencils of Promise right at typennington.com. We talked earlier about how you can get involved either by sponsoring CC for Elephant or making a donation directly on typennington.com. And I'm going to really encourage you to take a little action, even a dollar. If we all do a dollar, knitting can finish this school up. And I think that if we can, we should. Okay. You know what time it is.
And now it's time for State of the Hooligan with Tammy Burke.
I'd like to welcome back the host of State of the Hooligan, moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group, and moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group to tell you all what's new and cool in the fiber arts world, our roving virtual reporter, my friend and fellow Fiber Hooligan, Tammy Burke. Tammy joins us again today from Boise, Idaho. Good morning, Tammy, and welcome back to the show.
Hello, Ben. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It's great to see. It's great to hear from you again. I know you almost made it through there. You know,
almost,
the gate
not
opened.
Quite.
Almost. So how was your week?
Pretty good. It's springtime in Boise, watching for things that are blooming. How about in South Dakota?
Well, it's springtime here, and yet on Friday, sleet and snow and icy roads. And I pulled out of the XRX Inc. parking lot at around 3:30, 4 o'clock to head home and do some work on Friday. And I actually had to get the scraper out and get all the snow and ice off my car. And that's not cool because this is supposed to be spring.
Yes, we have forsythia blooming here and daffodils and other flowers popping up, and hopefully you'll have that soon too.
Well, this weekend was much more pleasant, so maybe that was just, but I'm really done for, I really am done with the flurries and the ice and all that kind of stuff. It just needs to warm up. I have found myself so cold. I've got this continual chill this whole winter, and it doesn't take much just to make me want to wrap myself up in a blanket, and I'd like to not feel like that anymore. Of course, sometime this summer when it gets just, ungodly hot, I'm going to be wishing for winter again. But, that's me, never happy with anything.
That's the way we all are.
Well, so it's great to have you back with us this week. I'm sorry we didn't have you last week. It was a great show last week. It was a short show, Barbara Walker. But, I missed you, and I know that the Fiber Hooligans missed your report. So, we always look forward to your report. So what do you got for us this week?
Well, there was a couple of stories that were kind of interesting that I thought I would share with our audience about computerized knitting. The first one isn't really a new situation. Apparently, a young man an artist in school has discovered using computers to design and create a sweater. This was an article that was out published by motherboard.vice.com. He's basically making garments like sweaters completely automated on the computer, and described it as like 3D knitting for fashion, and was hoping to take sort of the sweatshop element out of the knitting. But the next article that I liked was also out of the UK. This one was published, I'm not sure I can pronounce it correctly, ebrookkerbach.net, and it was about news. This was a news knitting article. This article shows that a computer-generated sweater, now we had one in a segment earlier about Christmas time where Budweiser was creating sweaters based on tweets. and it created a Christmas-designed jersey. This sweater actually is creating a sweater based on how many times an item appeared in the news. So you'll have like a little red blotch for one news item and a little blue blotch for another news item. And however many times that that showed up in a news article a day is how the design of that sweater looked. So it was really created by, you know, the internet and how many times things, you know, were updated. And I thought that was kind of interesting because every day would be a different looking sweater.
Well, that's very cool. I mean, you know, I'm always so impressed that there's such clever people out there that can take unrelated things and put them together and find ways to be creative. And then it's always cool if they can bring that into the fiber arts world.
Yes. And having something unique and artistic is and then share it with the rest of everybody else is about how they're doing it. It's always something to look forward to.
That is awesome. I mean, again, as usual, you know, you brought some nice mainstream articles that related to the fiber arts world to us. I always love it. You are so good at researching this kind of stuff, Tammy, and bringing fun and interesting things to the show.
Thank you. This kind of stuff is what tickles me, and that's what I look forward to getting to share with everybody else.
You know, there's actually, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about one thing that I think we were planning on doing last week that we didn't because, of course, you weren't on the show last week. But if you don't mind, I'd like to throw another subject that came out into the mainstream out so we could just talk about it for a minute. You know, we had Mary Colucci on, and we were talking about the health benefits and the concentration benefits of knitting and crocheting. And that was a really good segment from Mary Colucci of the Craft Iron Council of America. At the same time, the folks over at Craftsy did like a simulcast. And then a couple of days later, I saw that John's wonderful wife, Dr. Katie Levesay, was quoted right on CNN.
Yes, that was a really wonderful article. It was entitled, "This is Your Brain on Knitting." And it featured a lot of the same points that John brought out in the Craftsy webinar. With Victoria Schindler and Katie Levesay. We're looking forward to having her on pretty soon, aren't we?
Yeah. We're still just trying to figure out a time. You know, John and Katie are so very busy. Katie said that she will be on the show, and, of course, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about her writing, too, because that's fun, too. But she is definitely a, you know, a health professional that has done some research on this, and I'd like to hear from her directly about this. Well, she's just fun, as you know.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to hearing her discuss this, too, without giving a lot of information away from what they've already shared. But clearly the benefits toward preventing Alzheimer's was huge and been very well received because this article keeps repeating. If you Googled how knitting is a benefit, health benefit, for depression, for in Alzheimer, like I've already said, the articles just keep popping up from all different sources. CNN is a big recognition of this webinar that they put together, and it was wonderful, and I'm glad that they're getting that recognition, and we're discussing it more with Katie.
Absolutely, and I you know, and again, it's a big thing. I mean, you know, lots of articles appear, but when you get a mainstream knitting article on the front page of CNN.com, you know, we've gotten some traction. Just good for the industry, good for everybody.
Yes. The other thing that was cool this weekend was last night. I believe that there was a news article about the Dallas-Fort Worth Fiberfest or DFW Fiberfest. They had an article on TV there locally that talked about how many kids are learning to knit and crochet. They expected about 350 kids to come through, which reminded me a lot of Cece. Soon she's going to have a lot of little help, I think, from these different classes that were being offered. And that was right on the news, their local main channels, news channels last night there in Dallas. So that's pretty cool.
Well, you know, I think that we should encourage all these news agencies, whether they're local or national, to get themselves hired a knitting and crochet and fiber arts editor to cover that beat as an ongoing thing, don't you?
Yes. We can recommend a lot of people.
we can recommend a lot of people. Okay, well, that was great. Again, you always bring great stuff to the show, and it's great to have you back after a kind of a two-week hiatus. We missed you, and we're going to try not to do that again. So, you know, thank you very much for another great segment, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next Monday.
Yes, next Monday. Happy Monday today, and we'll see everybody soon. Take care,
Happy
Benjamin.
Monday. You take care. That was Tammy Burke, host of State of the Hooligan and moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group and Fiber Hooligans Rivalry group. For those of you who may have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us on our groups. Tammy does such a great job of making sure we answer questions and provide links and follow-up to anything you might have heard on the show. Next week, my guests will be Pam Hashke of Halos of Hope and Marion Rose of the Atlanta Knitting Guild. We're going to be talking about our On Safari for Kids campaign, an animal-themed hat drive for children who are being treated for cancer at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, Eagleston, and Scottish Rite. Earlier on in this show, we talked with Belinda about last year's campaign, Under the Sea, and so this is kind of the next generation. They asked us to come back, and we were thrilled to be able to partner with them and do some work for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This is a great story, and you're going to want to tune in to hear how these amazing women are once again helping the community of Atlanta. I also want to make sure that you know that I'm eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. And that includes suggestions for guests or cool things you'd like Tammy to talk about in her segment. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. If you ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, I may even read your email or a question on the podcast. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Nothing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. We'll see you next week on another edition of Fiber Hooligans.